Hello, say good afternoon. Let's begin. Last line, Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Amarava, Afagav Desanya Tiyufta De Shmuel, Hilchos HaKavoseh. Even though before the Gemara essentially refuted the position of Shmuel, the halacha is like him. Last line, Chav Gimel Amud Beis. See, even though the Gemara refuted Shmuel, the halacha is like him. So also remember, what did Shmuel say? So Shmuel Halacha Lamaisa said that one is permitted to go ahead and put their tefillin underneath their pillow, even if one is sleeping with one's wife. Okay, so the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason? Chav Dalet Amud Alef. Kol Neneturei Tfei Odif. So because when you have a choice between ultimately the kavod of the tefillin versus safekeeping of the tefillin always wins out. So the Gemara says, Veheicha Monach Lehu. And where should you put it? Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, Bein Kar Lekeses. Between the pillow and the mattress. So meaning, you could have understood the word mitachas l'roshosav literally as putting your head under it. So the Gemara says, no, you're not putting your head on the tefillin. The tefillin is between your mattress and the pillow. So the Gemara says, shelo kineged rosho. Furthermore, it's under the part of the pillow that's not directly opposite your head. So you have your head on the pillow, the tefillin's under the pillow, but ultimately the tefillin is to the side or to some other part in which your head's not resting on top. So the Gemara says, "Bahatani Rabbi Chia, manichin bekova tachas merashosav." So the Gemara says, that Rabbi Chia said that you put them in the kova underneath your pillow. So Rashi says, "Thank you." Rashi says, "Bekova huakis shalohem." That refers ultimately to the bag, meaning Rabbi Chia said that Aloha Lamaisa, you could actually put the tefillin in a bag and put the bag with the tefillin underneath your head, which ultimately sounds like what? That you could actually have your head right on top of the tefillin, to which the Gemara says, Demafik le lamarsha dekova lebar. That they would go ahead and put the empty part of the bag underneath the head. So meaning, what does that mean? Everybody's essentially saying the same idea, which is that you could put the tefillin underneath your head, but you can't rest your head directly on top of the tefillin. So the tefillin themselves must be in a separate part, not directly underneath your head. Bar kafra, tsayer lehu bikilsa, umafik lemar shehen lebar. So the Gemara says Bar Kafra would go ahead and actually tie up his tefillin in the canopy of his bed and would push the tefillin to the outside of the bed. So again, if you can imagine for a moment the canopy bed, this canopy bed has fabric, he would tie up the tefillin in the fabric, but he wouldn't have the tefillin on the inside of the bed, but rather would push the tefillin to the outside of the bed. Rav Shisha Berei Deravidi, Manach Luhu Ashar Shifa Uparis Sudra Ilaihu. So Rav Shisha Rav Idi would put the tefillin Asher Shifa. Rashi says a safsal refers to a bench, and he would put a sudra. He would go ahead and put a cloth on top of the tefillin.
Couldn't put it in the
drawer? I'm sorry?
You can just put it in the dresser.
Okay, they have
no bedroom furniture.
No bedroom furniture, right?
IKEA of Sura didn't open up until a couple of years later. So he put it on a stool and then went ahead and put a cloth on top of the stool. Fine. Amra Fanuna Braid Rav Yosef. Zimna Chada Hava Kaibna Kame de Rava. One time I was before Rava, but Amr Li Zil I see li tefillin. And Rava said to me, go get my tefillin. And I found Rava's tefillin underneath his pillow, between the pillow and the mattress. Shaloki neged rosho, clearly underneath a part of the pillow that was not opposite his head. V'hava yedana diyom tvi lahava, and I knew that Rava's wife went to the mikvah the night before. So how he knew that is not important for this story, but he knew that Rava's wife went to the mikvah the night before. If Rava's wife went to the mikvah the night before, the assumption is what? That relations occurred as well. So essentially, you have Rav Hanuna saying that he saw Rava's tefillin underneath his pillow, not opposite his head, underneath the pillow, between the pillow and the mattress, when obviously he was sleeping in bed with his wife and presumably had relations with her. So the Gemara says, Ula admuran halacha lemaisa hu da'avid. And I realized afterwards that the reason Rava sent me to get his tefillin was why? To learn the halacha. That ultimately, again, Rava wanted me to see. Rava knew that I knew that his wife went to the mikvah, and he wanted me to see where his tefillin was placed. So the Gemara says, Bo'iminei Rav Yosef Bereid Rav Nechunim Rav Yehuda. Shnaim sheyishinim b'mita achos. Mahu shezeh yachzir panav v'yikra kriyashma, v'zeh yachzir panav v'yikra kriyashma. So also now the Gemara gets into a very interesting discussion. What happens if two people are sleeping in the same bed, in one bed, underneath the covers, and the presumption over here is unclothed? unclothed. Remember, also, even the concept of pajamas, right, is a newer innovation. Is a newer innovation. So people, you know, I was telling somebody last week, there's a biography of Rav Shach. It's called the Rosh Yeshiva Remembers. So Rav Shach writes in his biography that when he was a bachur in yeshiva, he had one shirt. One shirt. So Thursday nights, he would go up to the roof of the yeshiva, and he would launder the shirt. But he wasn't going to go back into the base medrash and just tzitzis. See, he would wait on the top of the roof, winter, summer, spring, fall, until the shirt dried. So we live in a different age, Baruch Hashem, with this. So again, people are sleeping, same bed, no clothing. No clothing. So the question is, if they turn their backs to each other, can they recite Shema while underneath the covers? Amar lehachi amar Shmuel, afilu ishto imo. Well, Shmuel said, halacha lemaisa. Remember in the tefillin case, Shmuel said that one could go ahead and keep the tefillin there with them, even if one's wife is with one in bed. So, and Shmuel also applied that in the situation of Kriyat Shema, that halacha lemaisa, even if one is in bed with one's wife, husband and wife could turn opposite directions, and husband could recite Shema. Maskif l'Rav Yosef ishto v'lo miboy acher. So are you coming to tell us, therefore, that if you could do it with one's wife, then what? Certainly someone else. I would say adrab, I say just the opposite. Ishto kigufo, meaning a wife is considered in many respects like an extension of her husband. So being in bed with one's wife is not considered to be, to say this in the right way, but not considered to be like with another person. It's an extension of one's self. So the Gemara says, "Acher lav kiguf odami," but someone else in the bed is not an extension of oneself. Meisvei shnayim shiyishin b'mita achos. So if you have two people sleeping in the same bed, zeh machzir panav kori, zeh machzir panav korei, each one turns their back to the other, and they both could say Shema. V'tanya achris, we have another brisa that says, "Hayoshin b'mita." Ubanov ubne beso bitsido hari zelo yikra kireshma. We have another brisa that says that if one is sleeping in a bed and his children and family members, it's a family bed, they're all in the same bed, a person shouldn't say Shema unless what? Ela imkein haisa talis mafsekes beinehen. Unless, of course, they're literally, now talis of course doesn't literally mean a talis. Talis means a garment in between his body and the other people in the bed. Vim hayu banov ubne beso ktanim mutter. But if the children are kitanim, then even if they are unclothed underneath the covers, then you could still go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara says, Bishlam on the Rav Yosef lo kashya. So according to Rav Yosef, these two brisos don't pose a contradiction. Why? Ha b'ishto, ha b'acher. One bris is talking about one's wife. That's the bris that gives you permission to go ahead and read Shema even if someone else is with you in bed. That's referring to one's wife. And the second bris is referring to other people with whom you can't say Shema. Ela l'shmuel kashya. But according to Shmuel, it's a kashya. Because according to Shmuel, he's on record as saying that Aloha l'maisa, one should be able to recite Kriyat Shema no matter who is with you in bed. Amar lecha Shmuel Rav Yosef minecha v'atanya hayoyoshin b'mita ubanav ubnei beiso b'mita lo yikra Kriyat Shema ele imkin haisa talisa mafsekes b'nehen. So Shmuel says, 1 second, are you trying to tell me that according to Rav Yosef the brisa makes sense? We learned that the other second brisa, that if one is sleeping in bed and his children or family members are in there in bed with him, he should not say Shema unless, of course, there's a talis, there's a cloth that's serving as a barrier. Elamai istachol meimar ishto. Rather, you have to say that both cases are talking about one's wife. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, Rav Yosef tenaihi ledidi nami tenaihi. So again, Shmuel essentially says the same way that according to the position of Rav Yosef, this turns out to be a machlokes tanoim. So for me, it's also a machlokes tanoim. So Rabbi, in other words, what we end up with, we're going to resolve it, but at least at this point in time, is we have a machlokes tanoim as to what are you permitted to do if you are in the bed with someone else, both people unclothed. What are the circumstances under which one could say Shema? That's number one. And number two, is there a distinction between one's wife and other people? So Amar, it's a machlokes. We'll resolve it in just a couple of moments. Amen. Thank you. Amar Mar. Zemach Zirpanavikori Kriyashma. So beforehand we said, Mar said, that one of the solutions we have, if both people are unclothed underneath the covers, is that each one turns their back to one another. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Vaha Ika Agavos, but they're still the backside. They're still the backside. So I will say, the Gemara's question is predicated on the fact that this is not necessarily the biggest of beds. So it could be that even if they turn back to back, what'll happen? Their bodies will touch each other. So the shaila is, under those circumstances, can we say Shema? So the Gemara says, Misayele
l'rafuna.
And the naked. Correct. The whole shaila only gets off the ground because they're not clothed. Right, if they're clothed, there's no shaila. Right, so this is correct. So the Gemara says, "Misayle Rav Huna, Damar Rav Huna, agavos ein ba mishum erva." So Rav Huna, this seems to support Rav Huna, because Rav Huna held that a person's backside doesn't have the status of nakedness, of halachic nakedness. You will say, remember, the Gemara is working off a principle which the Gemara doesn't state explicitly, but it's supposed to be understood, which is you cannot recite Shema opposite erva. You cannot recite Shema opposite either your own or someone else's nakedness. The shaila is, what's the definition of nakedness? So obviously, if you male sexual organ, female sexual organ, obviously that's makom erva. What Rav Hamuna is saying over here, what the Gemara is suggesting according to Rav Huna, is that the backside of a person doesn't have the status of an erva. So the Gemara says, Leima mesei leidu Rav Huna. So let's quote the following case that seems to support Rav Huna. Ha'isha yosheves v'kotza la chalosa aruma. A woman could go ahead and sit on the ground and separate chala even if she's naked. Right? Even if she's unclothed. Now, what does it mean, separate chala? So it's not separating chala, it's the bracha. Right? Meaning she could sit on the ground and separate chala and unclothed and still make a bracha. Why? Because literally translated, she can go ahead and cover her face in the ground. Face is a euphemism for her makom erva. So since she could go ahead and sit in the ground, if she's sitting on the ground, so essentially it's talking about the vaginal opening is covered in the ground, so she could go ahead and make the bracha. Avaloha ish, but this would not work for a man, because even if a man was sitting on the ground, his erva would still be visible. Tirgum Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kegon shahayu paneh tochos dekarka. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, but this only works if literally the ground covers her. What Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is coming to include is a woman could be sitting on the ground, but lav dafka, that her erva is covered. The only time that she has the license to make this bracha is if the erva is covered. Amar Mar, im hayu banav u b'nei beiso kitana mutar. So we said before that if a person is sleeping in the bed with family members and everybody is unclothed, so halacha l'maaseh, say if the children are young, one could go ahead and recite Shema even in the presence of the children who are unclothed. Va'ad kama, and how young, right? How young is young, or I should say, until what point in time could one do this? Amrat chista tinokes bas shalosh shanim, for a girl is 3 years old, v'yom echad, then one day, v'tinok ben tes shanim v'yom echad, and for a boy, it would be 9 years for one day. Ika da'amri, there are others that say, tinokes bas yud alif shanim v'yom echad, v'tinok ben shtei mesrei shanim v'yom echad. Others say that no, for a girl it's 11 years old in one day, and for a boy, 12 years old in one day. Idi v'idi ad kidei shadayim nachonu v'sarich tzamech. Either way, what are we looking at over here? Physical maturation. Right? Essentially, what the Gemara is saying over here is that halacha lemaisa, at the time when children begin to develop physically, is the time when their nakedness would pose a problem even for the parent, legabe kriyashma. Amali Rav Kana Ravashi. Hasam Amar Rava af agav detiyufta de Shmuel, hilchasa kavasi de Shmuel. Hachamai. So the Gemara said, you know, beforehand, Rava made the statement that even though the Gemara seemed to refute the position of Shmuel, that was referring to the previous case, of that Shmuel said that you could put your tefillin underneath your pillow, between your pillow and your mattress, just not opposite the place where you lay your head. So Rava said, even though the Gemara seemed to refute the position of Shmuel, the halacha still follows Shmuel. So now the Gemara asks, Hachamai, what about here? Shmuel is one who said before that what? Shmuel is one who said before that halacha lemaisa, you could say kriyashma even if you are unclothed in bed with your wife, as long as what? As long as you turn away from one another. So does the halacha follow Shmuel here? Amarle, he responded, Atu kulu becha, I'm sorry. Achamai, Amarle, he said to him, this is Rav Kahana, said to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi responded, Atu kulu bechada machta machtinu, are all of these cases taught in one time? Elehecha de itmar itmar, vehecha de lo itmar lo itmar. No, we don't always assume the halacha follows Shmuel. When Rava made the definitive statement before and that the halacha follows Shmuel, that's how we paskin. But over here, there is no definitive statement, therefore we can't automatically assume the halacha follows Shmuel. Amali Rav Mari Rav Papa, Seyar Yotze Bebigdo Mahu. So we'll say, now what the Gemara is going to transition a little bit is now that we've gotten into this discussion about erva and the inability to recite Shema opposite erva, the Gemara is going to try to define certain cases of erva. So the Gemara asks the following question. What happens if a person has pubic hair that is extending outside of their clothing? So does that hair constitute erva? Which means that for some, if you came in contact with a person like this, would you be permitted to go ahead and say Shema opposite the hair? So the Gemara says, Kari alea, ser ser. So Rav Papa said to Rav Mari, hair is hair, which is another way apparently. Don't try that, right? Okay, hair is not hair. But the Gemara is saying that for the purpose of halacha, that hair doesn't have the status of erva. So even if it's pubic hair doesn't have the status of erva. Tefach bi'isha erva. So we'll say now, we launch into a very interesting discussion. Rabbi Yitzchok says that an uncovered tefach of a woman is considered to be erva. So the Gemara says, now, even before we define that, here's what we know it means. We know that it means a tefach of a woman's body that is normally covered, that now becomes uncovered, is erva. That's what we know. Where that is, we'll have to see. So the Gemara says, Lemai. First of all, what are we talking about? If you're talking about the permissibility to look at a woman, now remember, a woman is only an erva if she's prohibited to you. So for example, this doesn't necessarily apply to a single woman, right? So when we talk about a woman being, because a single woman is not prohibited to you, when we speak about a woman being an erva, that's a woman who literally you cannot marry. So let's say another man's wife, an ashes ish. So if you're talking about looking at her, V'ha amar Rav Sheshes, lama mana ha-kosuf tachshitin shebachutz, im tachshitin shebifnim, loma, so Rabbi said, this is about the war with Midian. So after the Jews came back and battled Midian, the Torah goes through an inventory of everything that they took. And interestingly enough, there were certain ornaments that women wore on the inside, right? And certain ornaments that the women wore on the outside. So we understand why the Torah would enumerate the more intimate ornaments, because remember, the whole sin with Midian was a sin of immorality. But the Torah also goes out of the way to detail all of the external ornaments as well. Why? Lomar lecha, kalamestakil be'etzba kitana shel isha, if you purposely stare even at the pinky finger of a married woman, right? Meaning, what does it mean, stare? It means, if you lust after, if you look at her pinky, even for the sake of your own pleasure, kilu mistakel b'makom hatoref. It's as if you looked at her erva, right? Meaning any lustful looking that's done after a woman who's prohibited to you, it doesn't matter what you're looking at, it's all usur. Ela b'ishto. So therefore, it can't mean that you're not allowed to look at a tefach of uncovered of an uncovered part of a married woman's body, because that's obvious. You can't look at any part of a married woman's body. So rather, what must it refer to? It's not referring to a married woman. Who is it referring to? One's own wife. Ulekriyashma, and for the sake of Shema, or in other words, what Rabbi Yitzchak is coming along and saying is, even with one's wife, if she has a tefach of her body that is normally covered, uncovered, you, the husband, may not say Shema opposite or in view of the uncovered part of her body. And also, by the way, whatever is going to be true for Shema is going to be true for any other part of Tefillah as well. It'll apply for Kiddush. It'll apply for lighting your Hanukkah candles. Anytime you're going to be making brachos. Berchas Amazon, Amar Rav Chista, Shok B'Isha Erva. Rav Chista comes along and says that it's the shok of a woman that's an erva. What does that mean? So the shok is the thigh. Specifically, that when we say this idea that an uncovered tefach of a woman is erva, that refers to an uncovered tefach of the thigh. Shine Emar, Gali Shok Avri Naros, Uksiv Tagel Erva Secho. The Gantira Cherpasecha, Amar Shmuel, Kol B'Isha Erva. Shmuel said, even the voice of a woman is a form of erva. Shene Emar Ki Kolich Arev Umarech Nave. Amar Rav Sheshes, Seyar B'Isha Erva. The hair of a woman, and again, this is talking about now a married woman, the hair of a woman is also erva. Shene Emar Sarech Ke'eder Ha'izim. Okay, so now obviously we're not going to do this sugya justice, but again, you just see all of these different opinions as to what actually constitutes the erva woman. Now, halacha l'maaseh, how do we paskin? The truth is, we paskin Yes, right. We paskin all of the above. So let's say this, and this is halacha lemaisa. If a man, let's say, is davening at home or benching at home. So if his wife, let's say, is not clothed fully, which she doesn't have to be clothed fully in her house, but if she's not clothed fully, a man would have to be careful about reciting brachos in her presence. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Anira isi es Rebbe shatala tefilav. So Rabbi Chanina says, I saw Rebbe that he hung his tefillin. Hung or hanged? He hanged. Hung. He hanged.
Hung.
Hung.
Suspended. Suspended. Okay. He suspended his tefillin from like a peg, right? Meaning he would go and hang up his tefillin on a peg. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Meisvei hatola tefilav yitlulo chayiv. If you suspend the tefillin, your life should be suspended, right? So the Gemara says, so darshe chamuros amru v'hayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged ze hatola tefilav. So those who dash in the pesukim in a very strict fashion said in the tochacha v'hayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged, that your life will be suspended right in front of your eyes. That's the punishment for those who go ahead and hang their tefillin. So both sides, what the Gemara is trying to say is just kind of like, if you can imagine, you know, you walk into your house, you have a coat rack, so hanging your tefillin on the coat rack is going to be a very disparaging way to treat the tefillin. So how could Rebbe have done this? Lokashia habiratzua habikatzitza. No. When the Gemara says you can't hang your tefillin from a hook, what is that referring to? You can't hang it by the ritzua, right? So you can imagine, you put the ritzua on, the bias hangs down. That you can't do. What you could do, however, is position the bias on top of a hook. So this would only work if, let's say, you had a thicker hook or a thicker peg. So if you had, let's say, a place to put down the bias, even though what? The ritzuos are going to hang down, that's permitted. So the Gemara says, the other possibility is lo shna ritzuva lo shna ketzitza. No, it doesn't matter how you're hanging the tefillin. Also, you can't do it. V'chi tala Rebbe b'kista tala. And so really, according to the second version, you can never hang tefillin. It doesn't matter if you're hanging it by the strap or hanging it by the bias. So what did Rebbe do? Rebbe hung the bag. Meaning Rebbe would come home from shul, and what would he do? He would hang his tefillin bag on the coat rack. If that's the case, so what's the shayla? Of course that's okay. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema tibay hanocha kisefer Torah. I might have thought that maybe tefillin, since tefillin shares certain common characteristics with Sefer Torah, just like Sefer Torah, you can't hang a Torah, but it requires placement. I might have thought that tefillin also requires placement. Kamash malon, that it does not. Kamash malon, that as much as you can't hang the tefillin themselves, but you can hang the bag in which the tefillin is contained. Vam Rabbi Chanina, Anira Isias Rebbe, I saw Rebbe shegiek upiek v'nes atesh v'rok. I saw Rebbe. I will say there's a lot of activity over here. So gihek is actually interesting. So according to Rashi, it could be that one thing could be like he belched, right? He let out a large. Yeah. Or second possibility is that gihek could also mean he stretched, right? He was stretching. Okay. Piek means he sneezed. He yawned, right? And nisatish is he sneezed, the rock, and he spit, umimashmish bebigdo, and he killed a louse in his clothing. Alright? Good, busy morning. Aval lo hayam nisatish. However, interestingly enough, now this seems to be totally unrelated. Now, by the way, all these things are happening when he was davening. Right? This is all, not so much just Rebbe's, this is all happening when he's davening. But interestingly enough, one thing he didn't do when he was davening is if his talis fell off, he would not go to try to retrieve it. Ukishu mefaik, when he would yawn, hayamaniach yado al santero. This is actually very interesting. What would he do? He would put his hand on his chin. Meaning, what would he do when he yawned? He would cover his mouth. Now Rashi points out over here, al santero, shilotira psichas piv. So no one should have to see his gaping open mouth. Meisvei, so the Gemara says, 1 second, raise the contradiction. Hamashmiya kolo betvila, if someone raises their voice in davening, hari ze miktani emuna, that's a lack of faith, because it looks like that in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear you, you have to raise your voice. Similarly, hamagbia kolo bitzvilaso, hareze minivia hasheker. Now what's the difference between mashmiya kolo, magbiya kolo? Mashmiya kolo means it's audible. Magbiya kolo means you're yellowing. You're yellowing. That was yelling and bellowing in one. You're yellowing. Right? So you are you stopped a few minutes and bellowing, I was gonna say yelling, good. So you're yelling out davening. So that's like nivia hasheker. That resembles what the false prophets did, right? The false prophets used to go ahead and daven in such a way. Megaik umefaik. If you go ahead and, let's say, stretch or yawn, harize megasi haruach, that's arrogant behavior. Because that looks like what? You're a little too comfortable in the presence of God. Hamisatesh bitvila. So if one sneezes while they're davening, simin ra lo. It's a bad omen for you. V'yesh omrim nikar shehu mechuar. Or others say that if you sneeze during davening, it's clear that you're a disgusting person. All right, we'll explain that in just a little bit. Harak bitvila. So if you spit in the middle of davening, kilo rak bifnei hamelech. It's as if you spit in front of the king. But you have to also understand something, that spitting etiquette was very different in the times of the Gemara. Meaning today, if a person let's say has phlegm or something, so you don't spit that out. You swallow it, unless, of course, you have a handkerchief. In the times of the Gemara, and probably even much later also, it was very acceptable. You spit it out. You spit it out right on the ground right next to you. And by the way, they did that even in shul.
I went to a shul and
right?
I spit
finished
when I was
here. Right, so
it was a Lubavitch shul. Right. People would gather around the
and they would spit, and they would spit, all right? So I'm just pointing out, so when it says spitting over here, see here the Gemara is just simply referring to spitting in the middle of Shemona Esrei. That's what it's, because it's only betfila. So if you spit in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you're engaged in a dialogue with the king. We're not instituting that here, right? So you go ahead, it's like you're spitting in the face of the king. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Bishlama megai, so now we have a kasha, right? Because the Gemara just said before that Rebbe would go ahead and do all of these things in the middle of davening. The Braisa says that if you go ahead and you yawn, you stretch, or you yawn, that's grase ruach. So how does that shtim with Rebbe's behavior? When it happened to Rebbe, it was an ones. He couldn't control it. The Braisa is talking about where l'ritzono, you know, what it means is that you don't make any attempt to control yourself. Ela misatish, amisatish kashya. But 1 second. What about sneezing? Right, you can't control sneezing. So how could Rebbe sneeze in the middle of davening? The Braisa here says that's disgusting. So the Gemara says, nami lo kashya. Kan mi lemalo, kan mi lemato. So the Gemara says it depends where the sneeze is coming from. So what the Gemara is saying essentially is they also called flatulence sneezing. So what the Gemara is saying over here is like this. Sneezing that comes from your nose, so the Gemara says, okay, that you can't control. That's what happened with Rebbe. But flatulence, which hopefully is saying that one can control, if one goes ahead and allows that to occur during davening, that's mechuar, that's disgusting. The Amar of Zera, ha milsa, if loy li bei rav hamnuna, vitakila li kikuli talmudai. So listen to this statement. Rav Zera said, I learned this one thing. Right? Literally, I absorbed this one teaching. In the yeshiva Rav Hamnuna, and it was as worthy to me as all of the rest of my learning. What was the statement? Hamisatish bitfilaso simin yofelo. If one sneezes during davening, it's a good omen. Why? What we call sneezing. Sneezing. We're not gonna use different terms. Actual sneezing is a good simen. Kashem she'osinlo nachas ruach milemata, kach osinlo nachas ruach milemala. The same way that after you sneeze, you have a sense of nachas ruach. You're relieved. Right? So the same way that you have relief in this world, that's a simen. That's what the Akadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you relief in the world to come as well. El arok arok kasha. What about spitting? So the Gemara says, Arok, Arok, Nami lo kasha. Efshar kidir Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda, haya omid bitzfila, v'nizdamin lo rok. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if a person standing and davening, right, again, Shmona S, right, and a lot of saliva collects in his mouth. So what do? Mavliya bitaliso. So what you can do is, you would essentially absorb it in your garment. Right, so spit it into your talus. Again, they don't mean talus like we have talus, a handkerchief, right? Or they even mean their beged, right? Spit it into your beged, let absorb in the beged. Then talus nahu. But if you're wearing your good talus, if you're wearing your nice clothing, then mavlio ba'afikasuso. Then you could absorb it into your turban. Now, what does that mean? So Rabosai, the way their turbans worked is that you're right. So you wouldn't be taking it off. That's the chat, because talking about in the middle of Shemona Esrei, you're not going to uncover your in the middle of Shemona Esrei. So what they had is, like the turbans, remember from from your childhood, right? The turbans would have like pieces of fabric that would come down. So there's a piece of fabric here, a piece of fabric there. So what it's saying over here is you could take a piece of the fabric of the turban, spit into that, and absorb it in there. Okay? So the Gemara says, Ravina hava koi achori de Rav Ashi. Ravina was standing before Rav Ashi, nizdamin lo rok, and he collected saliva in his mouth, paske la achore, and he spit it out behind him. Amar le lo sabar la mar la hadrav Yehuda mavli abafar kasuso. So the Gemara says, so he said to him, what happened? Why don't you accept the position of Rabbi Yehuda? Why don't you absorb it into the? I'm sure there's a name for it, but it's the piece of fabric that hangs down from the turban. I'm sure there's a one word name for it, but okay, the piece of fabric that hangs down from your turban. Amar le ana anina datoi. He says, I'm an istemis. Anina datoi means that I'm too sensitive. I can't stomach the idea of spitting into my garment, and then it's going to sit there right next to me for the entire time, so I made sure not to hit you. Red, you were behind me. I made sure not to hit you, but I need to get rid of this. Hamashmir kolu betfilah harizim ektani emuna. If one raises their voice, during davening, one davens in an audible fashion, so they are as if they lack emuna. Amar Rav Huna lo shonu ela shiyachol lechavin eslibo balachash. Aval ein yachol lechavin eslibo balachash muter. So the Gemara says, that's all assuming that you can have the right kind of kavana if you daven silently. But if you need to daven a little bit more audibly in order to generate the level of kavana, that's muter. V'ani mili biyochid. That's true when you're davening alone. Aval betzibor asi lemitra tzibura. But when it comes to the tzibor, you are not permitted to daven out loud out of fear that you could confuse someone else. The one exception to this is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, is Yamim Noraim. Yamim Noraim, you're permitted to daven out loud because the assumption is that it actually will help everyone else's kavana as well. So that actually is interesting. Machlokes haposkim. So some apply this dafka to Shmona Esrei. It's certainly by Shmona Esrei. That's for sure. But some want to apply it for all tefillah as well, because anytime you're going to daven in a way that disrupts others, by definition, you can't do. Right, that's the thing. By the Hasidim, some of the Hasidim dafka daven very loud for everything. Rabbi Abba hava kamishtamit minei de Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to this. Rabbi Abba was avoiding Rabbi Yehuda. Why? De hava koi boy le mesek la Eretz Yisrael. Because Rabbi Abba wanted to make aliyah, wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. And what happened? De amar Rabbi Yehuda kala ola mi bava l'artza over baasei. And Rabbi Yehuda forbade aliyah. He said whoever left Babel to go to Eretz Yisrael was in violation of a prohibition. What was the prohibition? Bavelo yuvo b'shama yiyu ad yom pakdi osam nu'um Hashem. Because Rabbi Yehuda took a very literal understanding of the pasuk that we are to remain in Golus until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself redeems us. So Rabbi Osai, just if you ever want to understand some of Neturei Karta ideology, this is where a lot of it stems from. There is this notion that Golus is a state that we remain in until God actively takes us out of it. So here you have... correct. So now you have over here, Rabbi Abba is avoiding Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Abba wants to go on Aliyah. He's trying to avoid Rabbi Yehuda because if Rabbi Yehuda is going to ask him, no, so what are you up to? Rabbi Abba is not going to lie to him. And if he doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yehuda is going to answer it. And then Rabbi Abba is going to be in a pickle. So what happens? So he said, Omer Ezel ve'eshama minei milsam ibeis vada v'hadar apik. But yet, he wanted to hear the Torah of Rabbi Yehuda, but he didn't want to actually run into Rabbi Yehuda. So he said, you know what, I'll go into the base medrash, I'll kind of stay in the hallway, and I'll overhear some of the Torah. Azul ashkechi letana diktani kamed Rabbi Yehuda.
See, the
base medrash, house of gathering. So azul ashkechi letana diktani kamed Rabbi Yehuda. So he went in, and he heard the Tana teaching the following statement in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Hayo omid bitfila. Vinis atish, if a person went ahead and was in the middle of tefillah and flatulated, mantin achi chala haruach, a person has to wait until the odor dissipates, the chozer umispalel, and then he can continue to daven. Ika da'amri, others say, hayo omid bitfila ubikesh les atish, others say that if you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei and you realize that a person has to flatulate, so what happens? Marchik la'achorav dalet amos umisatesh. You're actually permitted to walk in the middle of Shmona Esrei, four amos, move away four amos, take care of whatever you have to take care of, umamtin achi echala haruach, wait until the odor dissipates, v'chozer umispalo, listen to this, and then you go back and you daven, and listen to this, umispalo, and you say, v'omer, ribono shel, listen to this, so now, when you go back to your place to resume Shmona Esrei, there's an additional tefillah you're supposed to say. What's the tefillah? Ribono shel olam, yitzartanu nikavim nikavim chalulim chalulim, God, you have created us filled with orifices and openings. Galui viadua lefanecha, cher pasenu uklimasenu bechayenu. right? You know, you understand our humiliation and degradation during our lives. You will say, this notion that a person will not be able to control their body, right? And that I have to interrupt Shmona Esther to take care of this need, in and of itself, really highlights a human frailty. Sekhadish Baruch Hu, you know our humiliation. And not only that, Uba Achri Seinu, Rima Bitolea. And what are we at the end? At the end, we're simply food for the worms. And so that's your tefillah. That's kind of your re-entry into Shmona Esrei. Umaschil mimakom shepasak. And then you continue to daven exactly where you left off. Amar le, ilu lo basi ela lishmoa davar zeh, dai. So Rabbi Abba said, if it was worth coming here, even running the risk of running into Rabbi Huda, to what? To be able to hear this particular teaching. Tan Rabbanan, hayo yashin bitalisa vini yachal lohotzi es roshim neatsina. What happens in the following situation? A person goes ahead and is sleeping, right? Is sleeping underneath the covers. And what happens? He can't go ahead and see, under normal circumstances, Rabbi said, the easiest way to say Shema, even if you're in bed, is you go ahead and you stick your head out of the covers. Because that way, you pull the covers then by your neck, and the cover essentially creates a mechitza between your neck and the rest of your body. Remember, this case already where a person's still unclothed. Let's say it's simply too cold. It's too cold. I can't stick my head out under the covers. So what do you do? Chotzeit bitaliso al tzavaro v'korei kriyashma. So what do? You can go ahead. I'm sorry. Right. You bundle the cover up by your neck. And again, even if you don't fully move your head out of the cover, that's enough of a mechitza, and you can say kriyashma. V'yesh omrim alibo. Others say you don't even need to bundle the covers by your neck. You could bundle the covers by your heart. Because the idea ultimately is that she'en libo roa es ha'erba. That your heart should not see the erba. Okay? V'tanakama, hari libo roa es ha'erba. What does the Tanakama do if you are bunching the covers by your neck? Do you not have the problem that your heart, right, is, so to speak, seeing the erba? So the Gemara says, see, he holds that it's not a problem if your heart sees the erba. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yochanan. Right. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Yochanan. Hayim ahalich b'mevuas ha-mitunafos, maniach yado al-pib b'kori kriyashma. If you're walking in filthy alleyways. Now, filthy alleyways have two things. Filthy alleyways, number one, may have a stench, and filthy alleyways may also have actual waste or actual garbage. So what do? You put your hand over your mouth and you say Shema. Amar li Rav Chista Elokim. Im amar li Rav Yochanan bipume lo tzai sina le. If Rav Yochanan would have told me this himself, I would not have believed it. Ika da amri, others say, amar Rav Bar Bachan amar Rav Shuban Levi, hayimahalich bimavos hametunafos maniach yodo apiv, bekori kriya Shema. Others say that it was Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Yeshua ben Levi that if a person is walking in a dirty alleyways, you put your hand on your mouth and you say Shema. Amar li Rav Chista Halokim im Amar li Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'pumei lo tzai sina le. Okay, same story, just different people. But say, no, we'll stop over here for today. We're gonna pick up on Sunday. Emir Tzachim in the last two lines. So just do those few lines for Emir Tzachim.